Message and data rates may apply.
When did it become okay for men to be lazier, softer, fatter? We need to bring the men of this country back to greatness. And it's easier than ever with Ageless Male Max, a patent-pending formula with an ingredient that helps boost your total testosterone, promoting greater increases in muscle size and twice the reduction of body fat percentage than exercise alone. Plus, an amazing 64% increase in nitric oxide, which can be handy in the gym and in the bedroom. Take your manhood to the max by trying your first 30-day bottle free. Just pay shipping and handling. Not 10 days, not 15 days, but a full 30-day supply free. When you text the word DASH to 797979. Finally, a formula that boosts total testosterone. If your results with Ageless Male Max are too intense, please decrease use. For your free bottle, text DASH to 797979. Text DASH to 797979.
Here's Jonathan Hood in for Ian Fitzsimmons. Joining me, Freddie Coleman on Freddie and Fitzsimmons on the ESPN app and Sirius XM Channel 80, presented by Progressive Insurance. Anytime a guest stops by to hang out with us, they're here thanks to Shell Pintor Performance Line. So Anthony Davis, yep, not a Laker. Sorry to break your heart, Lakers fans, but nope. That may not happen till June. I'm just going to say July. It may not even happen at all. But he played his first game tonight, coming back from injury and after the trading deadline happened, with him still being a New Orleans Pelican. When the game first got started, there was some boos and cheers mixed together. Then once AD got going, those boos turned to cheers really, really quickly. Right now they're leading Minnesota 118-115. Anthony Davis has only played 25 minutes. He has 32 points, 9 rebounds, 3 block shots, has only missed 4 shots from the field. New Orleans is like, hey, if you're here, well, you know what they did? They were the same way with Tom Hanks, with Gina Davis in A League of Their Own. Well, I don't care if you play. You know, you're here, so if you want to play, you can play. Right. And Anthony Davis said, okay, I'll play. Well, fine, you'll play. And then Alvin Jr. said, we're going to win. We're going to win. And right now it looks like that's going to happen over the Minnesota Timberwolves. It's going to be very interesting going forward because they said, Jonathan, he's not going to play on back-to-back days. But if you're Anthony Davis, the best way to really increase your value, sitting out, you go out there and continue to ball out like that on a minutes restriction, a pitch count, that's only going to increase the desperation from the Los Angeles Lakers to make sure they can get you when the season is done.
We normally wouldn't spend this much time on the 12th and 13th best teams in the Western Conference, but because Anthony Davis is a part of this storyline, this is the reason why we lead the hour with this, because it is very intriguing. How would it work with Anthony Davis saying that I want out, I want to be traded, the trade deadline takes place, he doesn't get traded to the team that he really wanted to? Wink, wink, Clutch Sports, didn't get a chance to get to the Lakers, and so he's playing with the team that he doesn't really want to play with. So it's very interesting in that regard. But I think that when I look at what Davis brought to the table, it's no surprise to you or me that when he's healthy and upright, that he can really be able to provide a spark for this Pelicans team. But I think this speaks to more. We got to kind of open up this blooming onion a little bit more, because there's more to this, Freddie. Today's NBA player is different than the player from the 90s. In the 90s, when I was in college, I would put on MTV Cribs and it would be this player and that player and be like, look at all my women and look at all my cars and look at all my swimming pools. It's all good. And like, you didn't think that some of the players in the 90s really were about winning a championship. Maybe they knew the reality of Jordan was staring right in their faces. I don't know. But the point is that you could, when you talk to some of these young players, especially these in the upper echelon, the first thing they talk about is legacy, because they already paid. They already have generational wealth.
Right.
But the Davises and the, you know, Jimmy Butlers to an extent, the Kyrie Irvings, all these young players are like, yeah, you know, winning a championship or being on a championship team means as much to me as making money. And that, I think that's a difference in the dividing line of 20 years ago versus now.
Especially when they can do both. It used to be that if you wanted to have a big time contract, more often than not, winning teams were not going to give that to you because they had guys in their roster already. The NBA has made it work, and they did not expect this. They didn't think this was going to happen. They thought by opening up the salary cap that more guys want to stay where they are and build those teams. Guys are like, we can put together teams like AAU because there's more than enough money to go around where we can stack our squads and teams are going to pay that luxury tax. That's why Golden State, in my opinion, is not worried about losing out on Kevin Durant or Klay Thompson. Their owner told their GM, those two dudes over there, yes, sign them. What about the luxury tax? We're going to make that money back from the TV money we're going to get from ESPN and TNT. We got a brand new arena opening up next year where we're going to make buku money from that. And, oh, by the way, when we have deep playoff runs, how much more money are we going to make? We're going to make a ton of money. So whatever we pay them, it's not going to even be close to the kind of money we're going to make off those dudes. And every player knows that in the NBA. So if you can align yourself with a team that gives you a great chance to win a championship, you're going to have owners that are going to say, luxury tax, smuxury tax. We're going to pay it because we know we're going to make that much money and more off these guys who are going to give us what we want, more than a reasonable chance to win a championship. He's Jonathan Hood, in for Ian Fitzsimmons, joining me Freddie Coleman on Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio. Going back to Anthony Davis and that situation, Jeff Van Gundy, ESPN NBA analyst, part of the call tonight on ESPN between the Timberwolves and the Pelicans in New Orleans with Ryan Rucco. He did not leave any words out about how bad this is, especially when the New Orleans Pelicans are trying to do the right thing and the NBA is screwing them.
I think their owner, Gail Benson, has missed out on an opportunity to take a stand for her team and for all small market teams in the NBA. Anthony Davis, one of the five best players in the NBA, publicly demanded a trade, and now the NBA is trying to bully her and threaten her with unduly harsh fines. And if I was her, I would say, I'll pay the fine, but at the end of the day, I'm going to do what's best for my franchise. I'm not going to put him out there at risk for injury and reduce my lottery chances or my trade opportunities. I think the league is wrong. I think they should allow New Orleans to do exactly what is best for them, because everybody else is doing what's best for themselves. Anthony Davis and the league. Let the Pelicans do what's best for them.
JVG, Adam Silver on line one for you, sir.
Yes.
After that. But I understand his frustration. I understand that from the Pelican standpoint, they realize that they're going to be losing Anthony Davis at some point. Clearly, it's going to have to be at the end of the season. So I understand what Van Gundy is saying when he was talking about how all the other teams seem like they can do what they want and they can talk about tampering, or seems like tampering. So it is frustrating for a small market like New Orleans, because they're going to lose their superstar here and be left holding an empty bag. So I get that. On the other end, though, and Jeff knows this too, the Players Association just wasn't going to have it, Freddie. There's no way that a healthy player is just going to sit there and not play when he says he wants to play. I totally get it from that standpoint. But I also understand Jeff's frustration, because he's like, you know, this is not fair for a player to ask this. But listen, it's the NBA. It's a players' league. Mm-hmm. He wants to leave. He's going to eventually get his way.
And Jeff Van Gundy, and believe me, I love Jeff Van Gundy. I like the fact that he is unfettered. Unplugged. He doesn't give him what you think about what he's going to say. He's just going to speak his mind. If anything, his mind will speak before his mouth. Let's put it that way. That's what I love about Jeff Van Gundy. I understand where he's coming from with that rant. I'm not going to say that he's wrong, but based on the rules, as you mentioned, that are in place, there's no way that the New Orleans Pelicans were not going to follow those rules. They didn't want to bring that kind of smoke that's already around them, with Anthony Davis wanting out and people calling their general manager Dell Demps for not taking the deal. Plenty of deals on the table from the Los Angeles Lakers. And I guarantee you, once they realized tonight that not only Anthony Davis scored 32 points, he checked out of this game with 3:14 to play in the third quarter and did not play in the fourth quarter. You know, plenty of people are going to say, what in the blank are the New Orleans Pelicans doing when you're going to play this guy and he played 25 minutes? The New Orleans Pelicans are going to play this their way. They don't care what you think. They don't care what you're going to have to say about it. They don't care what Jeff Van Gundy has to say about defending them. Dell Demps is like, look, I know this guy wants out of here, but I'm going to be extra, extra careful to a certain point. They're not going to have him out there playing 40 minutes when he just got back from injury and he missed 8 games. It would have been idiotic for them to put him out there for that long a period of time when he doesn't have his NBA win back. He did what he had to do, and the team won the game in the fourth quarter. They are doing everything that the NBA does not want them to do, because the NBA wants the Lakers to matter, and they want Anthony Davis in Los Angeles with LeBron James. And Dell Demps knows that. That doesn't mean he's going to play along and go along on their terms. As far as I'm concerned, Anthony Davis has to play. Okay, according to the rules, I'm here so I won't get fined if I'm Dell Demps, the general manager. That's what I'm doing. But you know what? We're going to make sure that when we play him, we're going to play him under our terms, and we're going to make sure if he doesn't play, it's going to be under our terms as well. It's not going to be anybody else's right to decide how we're going to do this in New Orleans.
Don't forget, Alvin Gentry could always use the load management card. Or what is it called? Load something.
Yeah, when did that become a thing I mean, whatever happened to just rest or team decision? Load management?
Yes.
You don't know what are they, oxen? You don't want to overwork them to have too much of a load for them that they got to pull around the farm or something like that? What kind of nonsense is that?
You take a load off. They're going to take a load off and not rest, and they're going to have some rest.
That's funnier, but still silly.
That's true.
It's great line by you. Still silly in the whole thing when it comes to this. Why is he out tonight, Coach? Load management. What the blank does that mean? Well, yeah. He's going to rest. Say that then. That's like telling somebody, what happened? He had a cardiac infarction. Stop trying to suck up. Just say he had a heart attack. Just say that. Seriously.
I think he's producing one of our show right now, isn't he? Infarction?
Cardiac infarction.
He's producing our show, isn't that? Farkas?
That's Rory Farkas, not Rory.
Oh, I beg your pardon.
That's Troy Farkas, not Troy Infarction. That's not his name.
Beg your pardon. Got that wrong.
So Anthony Davis played tonight, first game back. Played well tonight, first game back. And the team won in the first game back. What did he say after that and about the whole situation involving him, the Lakers, and the Pelicans? Keep it here on Freddie and Fitzsimmons with Jonathan Hood in for Ian and Freddie Coleman on ESPN Radio.
Hey, it's Dan Patrick here to tell you about the Dan Patrick School of Sportscasting. I've teamed up with Full Sail University to create a sportscasting bachelor's degree. You work both on and behind the cameras, and you build skills for the future of sports so you can connect with audiences no matter where they are or how they're tuning in. Learn more about Full Sail University's Dan Patrick School of Sportscasting by going to fullsail.edu/ESPN.
I'm Freddie Coleman. He's Jonathan Hood in for Ian Fitzsimmons. Thanks for joining us on Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. So both of these guys had plenty of smoke earlier this week. Kevin Durant brought it on himself when he called out people in the press conference. Ethan Strauss handled himself well, but Kevin Durant let it be known that guys like him bother the living you-know-what out of him, twisting his words.
Why do I got to talk to you? Tell me. Is that going to help me do my job better? Nah, bro. I didn't feel like talking. I just don't trust none of y'all. Every time I say something, it's get twisted up and thrown out in so many different publications, try to tear me down with my words that I say. So when I don't say nothing, it's a problem. I just want to play ball. I want to go to the gym and go home. That's all. Is that a problem? All right, then.
Yeah, I mean, how are you playing? How's the team playing in the last couple weeks?
I'm done. You know you don't care about that.
I just asked you.
Have a good night.
Okay, that was Wednesday night. It was not cute all the way around. There was all kinds of uncomfortable with that. Tonight after beating Phoenix, by the way, Golden State is 14-1 since January 5th. Best record in the NBA. The only team that's beaten them during that time has been Philadelphia, and Philadelphia beat them in Golden State. Kevin Durant sounding a hell of a lot happier.
You mentioned All-Star. What do you think about your team?
Yeah, Giannis is not from here, so I understand next year he'll be better picking his team.
So you guys think your team should be for sure. Pretty heavy favorites?
I mean, look who you got on the team.
How about that starting lineup?
They got the defensive team.
No, they don't.
What do you think about LeBron picking you first 2 years in a row?
What else is he supposed to do?
Exactly. You know, everything. Kumbaya, my lord. Kumbaya. Between Kevin Durant, Jonathan, and also the media being a similar that he won that game. Whatever that was, and I said it then, he was going to do everything he could to control the narrative. People didn't like the way he went about it. I clearly understand that. But Kevin Durant, if he's going to do that, he's willing to live up to it and stand up to it and deal with whatever consequences, if any, were going to come his way.
Agency, get at me on July 1st. A great basketball player once said that. That was Kyrie Irving just a few days ago. Why couldn't Durant do that? You know why Durant couldn't do that, Freddie Coleman? Is because he wallows in the drama. You know, there's some people that just love it, men and women. Some people just are attracted to the drama. And my issue is his persona, because I love Kevin Durant as a basketball player. And I love the way he plays the game, because I can't find another person that at his size can do what he does. I just don't love the way he goes about his self-induced drama. I don't understand that. He's such a big time athlete, but yet he allows, you know, Twitter eggs to get under his skin.
Yes.
Now, let me tell you this back and forth between Ethan Strauss. Now, you and I are not there every day to see what Ethan Strauss does, whether or not he actually talks to athletes, and I would imagine he does after all the years he's put in. But the characteristic, the characterization that Kevin Durant said about Strauss just walking around, never talks to him and all that,
yeah.
You know, I don't know if that's true. If that is true, that's unfortunate.
Right.
I think you should have a better relationship with the players that you're covering. But nonetheless, I just think that if Kevin just concentrated on just being able to play the media just the way mm-hmm. he plays the game, he'd be so much better off.
And especially have a lot more less agita trying to worry about who's trying to get at him when those may be ghosts more than actual people doing that to yes. Kevin Durant. So it's kumbaya with him. It was kumbaya with Anthony Davis. His team won. He played tonight for the Pelicans. He is not a Laker, so that's not kumbaya for him. But after he scored 32 points in 25 minutes, he had this to say. By the way, he's Jonathan Hood. I'm Freddie Coleman of Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio. Anthony Davis, after the win tonight, had this to say to ESPN's own Ryan Rucco, who was part of the broadcast with Jeff Van Gundy.
Anthony, you score 32 points tonight in the three quarters that you play. What did it feel like to take the floor in the first game after the trade request, knowing that maybe you weren't going to be here after the deadline?
It just felt good to be back on the floor. You know, playing the game that I love, coming out, trying to help the team win. You know, my teammates came to me and said they wanted me to play. And I just love being back on the floor. Of course, I wanted to play. The injury kind of set me out. And then all the stuff that was going on, man. You know, I just blocked it out and go out there and play basketball.
Well, having said that, you obviously, I'm sure, wanted to be on the floor in the fourth quarter. Normally, you would be in a close game. What did you think about being on the bench for the entirety of that fourth?
I just go out there and play. Whenever I'm called upon to play basketball, go out there and help. That's what I do.
What kind of conversations have you had to have, if any, Anthony, with your teammates in the aftermath of all this, now that you know you'll be here the rest of the year?
Zero. Alvin talked to the team when it first went down. You know, everybody handled it the way they wanted to handle it. And we just go out there and play basketball. I'm going to be here for the rest of the year. You know, my job is to play basketball, and that's all I want to do.
Do you right now intend on playing back-to-backs as well? There were some reports about maybe you're not going to, maybe you are. What are your plans for that?
I'm going to talk to the coaching staff. I'm not sure what they want to do. We go from there. Honestly, I love playing the game. You know, it was fun being back out here tonight. All the boos and all that. It was fun. It was fun for me.
Now, Anthony, final one. You guys get the win tonight. As you look at just the rest of the season, how do you and this team approach the second half of this year with where you guys are in the standings and where you look towards the future with this group?
Just play. Can't you control what you can control, and then go out there playing hard, playing together. And that's what the team did tonight, was able to get the win.
Anthony Davis with Ryan Rucco of ESPN after the New Orleans Pelicans won tonight against Minnesota. Jonathan Hood, your thoughts?
Well, my thoughts is, if you notice very closely early in that soundbite, he says that his teammates wanted him to play.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. He didn't want to play? His teammates wanted him to play? Really?
I think he wanted to play, but it was nice to hear from his teammates that they wanted him out there and they were not going to shun him. Like, it'd be hard to do that. Anthony's wide open in the basket at 7 feet. Now I think we'll take this 28-foot jumper from Julius Randle.
Even if your teammates didn't want you to play, if the Players Association was going to want you to play, you're going to play. He'd get out there. So he's got the support of his team. That's cool. That's cool. And that shows the brotherhood of the Pelicans in that right. regard, right? Just like, right. Yeah, you want out, but you know what? You're with us, and you're stuck here, so we might as well play with you.
Even Alvin Gentry, the coach, said on Anthony Davis playing through the boos, it's not the first time he's been booed. Fans are fans. This is a loyal city. They have a right to do what they want to do. And the same thing goes for Anthony Davis, and the same thing goes for the New Orleans Pelicans, because whatever difficult situation this is, we know it's not going to be fixed until they trade him. Then again, you never know. He may change his mind at the end of the year and say, you know, I want to stick around and see if we can make this work. Highly unlikely, but stranger things have happened. But the fact that he said, hey, my teammates wanted me out there, and he went out there and he balled out for tonight, a little bit of forgiveness maybe, I don't know. But sure. Bygones are bygones.
By the way, at least he didn't have a Sox cap on like Kevin Durant when he had his rant. That made me a little itchy as a White Sox fan. Like, you're doing this with a Sox cap on. Oh, great. Great representation.
He's Jonathan Hood. I'm Freddie Coleman. He's in for Ian Fitzsimmons. I'm Freddie and Fitzsimmons, presented by Progressive Insurance. And who is really the best team in college basketball? And which is the best league? A brother will stop by and tell you that next if you keep it here on ESPN Radio.
Let me tell you about Pete, who loved hockey and always wanted to play in the NHL. Pete played since he was three and begged his mom to let him stay on the ice. Why, some nights he even slept in his hockey skates. Pete practiced and practiced until one day, when he was 47, Pete realized he just wasn't that good. So he threw his skates in the trash. But then he heard how GEICO, proud partner of the NHL, could save him money on car insurance. So he switched and saved a bunch. So it all worked out.
Thanks for joining us on Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. I'm Freddie Coleman, my man Jonathan Hood, in for Ian Fitzsimmons to make sure you're part of the Friday groove with us. And it's always a good groove anytime we talk college basketball with our buddy Seth Greenberg, not only from College Game Day on ESPN, they're going to be in Virginia tomorrow for an out-of-sight game between Duke and Virginia College Game Day on ESPN at 11 o'clock Eastern time. He is here thanks to Shell Pinto Performance Line. Seth, I'm going to get right to it. Here we are on February 8th going into February 9th. Who is really, in your opinion, the best team in college basketball?
The best team in terms of how they're playing in this moment in time, to me, is probably is Tennessee. Now, I think the most talented team is Duke. The team that, to me, has the easiest path to the Final Four is Gonzaga because the West is so down, and they'll be coming out of the West. But Tennessee's got the DNA of a Villanova. You know, it's got the maturity, it's got the toughness, it's got the execution. It shoots 77% from the free throw line. They're third in the country in points per possession in the half court. Duke is the most talented, but they also have a variable. I mean, the Duke's variables, they don't shoot free throws. They rely on overpowering you, turning you over, getting out in transition. They're a 30% three-point shooting team. That's who they are. I understand they can go 10 for 19 in a specific game, but over the course of their body of work, they're a 30% three-point shooting team. That's the worst in Duke history, and it's the worst of any team that potentially could win a national championship.
Coach, how much parity do you see this year in college basketball?
It's kind of weird. There's an elite six or seven, you know, with the Tennessees and with the, you know, now maybe you could put Kentucky in that, Duke, Tennessee, Gonzaga, and North Carolina in that conversation. But then there's a second tier, and that's where the parity is. None of them great, but all very good. The Purdue's, and a lot of them in the Big Ten. Purdue's, Michigan State, all those teams are good. Iowa State could be in that conversation. And then there's a third tier would be maybe, you know, a legitimate group below that. So I think there are six or seven that can win a national championship. I think there are another about 8 to 10 that have separated themselves to some extent. And after that, it's hard filling the field out. I mean, like, think about this, guys. The Pac-12 doesn't have anyone that you can really get excited about, except maybe Washington, and they haven't beat anyone who's going to be in the field.
Oh, you are right on about that. Seth Greenberg, college basketball analyst of ESPN with Freddie Coleman and Jonathan Hood, part of Freddie and Fitzsimmons on ESPN Radio. I'm going to stay right there in terms of what you said about the Pac-12, because you got an Arizona State team that got the blood beaten out of them by a Washington State Cougars team that was 1-8 going in and 2-8 going out. Outside of the Huskies, what is wrong with the Pac-12 here in February?
It's not February, Freddie. I'll tell you one thing. This has been a historically bad season for the Pac-12, and it's not just in football. It's mind-boggling to me that schools that are this powerful, that have this great a reach, that have this great a tradition, can be this bad. Look, Oregon loses Bowl. That's a big loss. They lost Troy Brown a year early. That hurt them, obviously, in keeping up their continuity, and they weren't able to replace that. Bowl obviously got hurt, and he's sitting out the rest of the season. They don't have a substance about him. UCLA is talented. Obviously, they've been through a coaching change. They are softed and sharp. I mean, I went and watched the UCLA-Washington game from this past week. Those dudes just want to play. I'm not sure they want to play to win. They sure want to play. And you know what? You've got to be able to draw a line in the sand and compete. And they just don't do it. USC, they have a terrible chemistry about them. Oregon State might be the next team in line, and they're just not good enough and haven't been able to beat anyone in non-conference. I mean, the West Coast Conference is better than the Pac-12. That's the best example. You have an Arizona State team that was good enough to beat a Kansas team that's, quite honestly, not very good. But they also lost to Princeton. They also lost to Washington State. and they play on emotion, but they don't play with any sense of purpose, and they're too spontaneous. So the league is abysmal. I mean, it's hard to say that about a league with that rich a tradition. Cal is way down. But Washington is good. Thibault's an incredible defensive player.
Yes.
And they play that zone, and they've got good pieces, but they're not a very good passing team. So that league is hard. It's hard to swallow. The best two teams in the West Coast are Nevada and Gonzaga. It's not even close.
Yeah, it's like Pac-12 football and Pac-12 basketball pointing at each other in that regard. It's pretty tough. In the Big Ten, how many teams do you think, Coach, are tournament worthy?
I think they're going to get 8 or 9. Look, the Big Ten it's got great depth, and it took care of business in their non-conference. And, you know, that's the thing. They're beating each other up right now. But if you look at what they've got accomplished in the non-conference, they took care of business. I mean, it's just the way it is. They won the games they needed to win. And, you know, you look at the top of the league, Michigan is very good. Their potential Final Four good. I think that Michigan State's a second weekend team. Purdue's playing at a high level. They figured out how to play with Carson Edwards, where he's not chasing shots, but he's being more inclusive and trusting of his teammates. The move to Williams at the post has really helped them. I mean, they're very good. Iowa was my sleeper team last year. They remained Rip Van Winkle, but this year they've emerged. They've improved defensively, and they're a really good offensive team. You know, Ohio State did a good enough things in their non-conference. Minnesota's very talented. They've got a big game against Michigan State this weekend. I think they're going to get – I think that league's going to get 8 teams in. Now, like most leagues, the bottom of their leagues aren't very good. You know, Rutgers is not very good. They're really, you know, struggling. Penn State is struggling. But everyone else, man, there are no rock and cheer games in the Big Ten.
Seth Greenberg, ESPN College Basketball Analyst, also part of College Game Day on ESPN with Freddie Coleman and Jonathan Hood on ESPN Radio's Freddie and Fitzsimmons. I believe, even though you're right about the Big Ten, the bottom feeders are playing like bottom feeders, I believe that's the best conference in the country. That being said,
I agree.
What has been wrong with Michigan State lately, losing 3 in a row?
Josh Langford eventually, I think, caught up to him. I mean, Josh Langford, they were 7-1 without him. They lost at Purdue, not an embarrassment. Purdue's one of the great environments in college basketball. You know, and I think it's a hard place to play. The loss to Indiana was really hard to take. They couldn't make a free throw. Nick Ward struggled. They're struggling scoring it. There's so much, and then they lose to Illinois, a team that overplayed every pass and pressured them. They only have one guy, Freddie, that can go and just go make a play, and that's Cassius Winston. So they have to rely, and they assist on 70% of their field goals because they run their stuff so hard and they're so good in transition. But if they can't do that, you know, who's going to go get a bucket? So, you know, Nick Ward can get one on the block, maybe Xavier Tillman, maybe Kenny Goins on a pick and pop. Their young kids are good. Aaron Henry's going to be good, but, you know, they really are missing. Really missing Josh Langford right now. That's 15 points a game. That's a guy who started, you know, basically every game for the last 2.5 years. That's a guy that can take some pressure off of Cassius Winston. They're a second weekend team because how hard they play, they defend, and they're good in transition. I do not think they're a Final Four team.
Coach, how special is Jay Morant? Does he remind you of someone that played college basketball in the past?
John Morant is really good. I went and spent 2 days with him. He's almost embarrassed by all the attention. He's got a little De'Aaron Fox in him.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that explosiveness, that open court feel. That he's got better vision than Fox, but he's got that same burst. He's not a good passer. He's a great passer. He's got incredible vision. He's got a burst to his game, and he's got an explosiveness to his game and an elevation to his game. Shoots it good, not great. But he's going to be a lottery pick, and he's a guy that, if he can get stronger, is going to be a very good NBA player because he's a very good ball screen player and he's a very good open court player. And those are two areas. You know, people say Westbrook. I'd say Fox, Westbrook type, but he's got to get stronger.
When people tell you about that and they make those kind of comparisons, and you even said right now that Morant does not like all that attention, how is he going to continue to handle that? Because he keeps having these highlight moments that we're seeing on SportsCenter. He's going to get more attention before the NBA draft happens later on this year.
Yeah, the interesting thing, Freddie, though, is he doesn't like the attention until the ball's in his hands.
Okay.
The guy's whole body changes when the ball's in his hands. It's like his personality changes when the ball hits his hands. When the ball hits his hands, he's got an energy and an enthusiasm that is really, really interesting to watch. Off the court, he's a great teammate. He's good with his teammates. He's humble. But once the ball hits his hands, man, that guy, his whole body changes. He's like a lightning rod.
Seth, who is one of the more underrated coaches in college basketball, and why is it Kelvin Sampson?
Okay.
Yeah, Kelvin Sampson's great. I'll tell you what, Kelvin Sampson's really good. Look, he did it at Oklahoma. He did it in Indiana. He did it at Washington State.
Yes.
And now he's doing it at Houston. And they put a ton of money into that facility and then to the program. And he's the one who's helped kind of give them a vision to say, this is who we have to be and this is what we have to do. I'm a big Kelvin Sampson fan. He's doing it with hard-nosed, tough guys that really good backcourt. I mean, a really good backcourt. And a physicality in their front court. Kelvin's done a great job, and you know they got a big one against Cincinnati tomorrow.
No doubt about it, but there's a big one as well between Duke and Virginia, two of the top three teams in the country, having a rematch. The first game around was fantastic. This one at Virginia could be out of sight in College Game Day, and ESPN will be there 11 o'clock Eastern time. Seth Greenberg and the cast of thousands, because they're all there for Seth. They're not there for Jay or Reese Davis. They're there for Seth Greenberg. He joined us here on Freddie and Fitzsimmons with Jonathan Hood and Freddie Coleman on ESPN Radio. Seth, you're always the best, my friend. Have a great night. Enjoy tomorrow as well.
Take care, guys. Thanks so much for having me.
Absolutely, my friend. If you missed what he had to say about who is the best team in college basketball and what is the best league in college basketball, subscribe to the Freddie and Fitzsimmons podcast in the Listen tab of the ESPN app and wherever you get your podcasts. We have not forgotten about Duke versus Virginia. That is part of college basketball action on Saturday on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app presented by Peloton. Coverage begins at 5:30 Eastern time, 2:30 on the West Coast. We have a new favorite Twitter account on the internet, and you'll never guess who is responsible for it. That's next on ESPN Radio.
Okay.
We would love to tweet you. Hit us with all night long. The 1-800-Flowers.com Twitter feed. Thank you very much. At Tweet J Hood, Jonathan's handle, and my handle at Coleman ESPN. There's so many Twitter accounts out there that we really, really love and really, really follow. Our new favorite Twitter account is courtesy of the one, the only, Jose Canseco. Some of the things that he put up just today in the last couple of days will leave you speechless when it comes to living 30 years longer. Let me read a couple and then let the reaction flow. For example, he says, one way to live 30 years longer is we are taking in way too much food. Cut down your food intake by half. Okay, Jonathan, that's not bad.
You know, yes.
Yeah, okay, that makes a lot of sense. He also says another way to live an extra 30 years is that you have to sleep in almost freezing temperatures. I'm not willing to be a polar bear, but I see where he's going with that.
Okay.
Then it gets good. Another way to live 30 years longer, if you must, have sex at least 3 times a week.
Why is it if you must?
That's a great question.
I don't know if it's a typo.
I'm not saying it's a right or anything, but if you must.
If
you have the option between, you know, going to Whole Foods or that, if you must, take that over the Whole Foods destination.
If you can't sleep in freezing temperatures,
right,
or cut down halfway on your food intake, if you must, then you can have
sex 3 times a week.
Wow. Well, it's Saturday. I'm behind by 3. At the very least, I'm behind by 3.
There's some men right now going like, you're only behind by 3, amateur.
Oh, man. Oh, this week.
This week.
Right.
Then it goes further. He says, cloning is illegal. Uh-huh. That's why we cannot evolve into our next stage. It goes on. Once cloning is legal, we will be able to purchase either bodies of ourselves in our prime, and once our shells get too old, detach the brain and then apply to a new shell of body.
That baseball did more damage to his brain than I thought.
Maybe that one play in the baseball hit him in the head.
Yes.
Remember when they hit him and it went over the outfield wall?
That's what I mean. I think it did more damage than we think.
Yeah. But he also goes on to say, new bodies will come with optional Android or robotic moving parts. In 50 years from now,
Only the rich will be able to purchase a new body.
PEDs is a heck of a drug.
Well done, Chris Mitchell. Well done.
Android. Well, I don't want an Android moving part. I want like an iPhone moving part. I want the next level.
Right, you don't want the Galaxy 8, right? You want the iPhone 30. With the iPhone 30 from that standpoint.
Right, exactly. What?
Who knew that Jose Canseco would be like this on Twitter? But then again, we shouldn't be surprised when it comes to him. Period in the story.
I don't know where he's getting this information. It's just randomly sitting on the deck and just putting these things out. Like, I don't know if any of this is substantiated. I haven't read this anywhere besides this Twitter feed. That guy needs to be on Dr. Phil. What are you doing now, Jose? He needs to be on with Dr. Phil. I want all of his thoughts on the couch for an hour.
You ever see the show Ayanna Van Zant, Fix My Life?
Yes.
Prime
yes.
candidate right here. She needs to get in touch with him and have him sit on her couch and say, all right, Jose, tell me about your childhood. And don't leave out anything.
What are you talking about, beloved? Yeah.
Oh, and by the way, Jose Canseco, new Twitter handle. Here on Freddie Fitzsimmons with Jonathan Hood and Ian Fitzsimmons. I'm Freddie Coleman on ESPN Radio. He also goes on. This started February 1st.
I'm just thinking about Van Zant.
Wait till you hear this.
I think about Van Zant just stumbling into the
room. Oh, my favorite.
God. Yeah. Absolutely.
Come on, beloved.
It gets better. Since February 1st, he's put out tweets, meaning Jose Canseco, like this. Come play golf with me and learn about aliens and time traveling.
All right.
Oh, it gets better.
Sounds like a great deal, honestly. Right.
He said, these aliens are going to teach us how to try and travel the brain so the brain can physically travel without the body. We are in communication with aliens with a very flexible body composition called the A151.
A151.
There was a tweet before that he said, I successfully time traveled. And the Rams win 27-20.
Yes.
So what happened?
Apparently he ran into a snafu.
It was an alternate universe.
He successfully time traveled. He would have reversed the no call.
There you go.
I also have communication with aliens. It's the A1 steak sauce, not the A151 he's talking about.
You know, somewhere aliens are going, if that's human contact we need to get in contact with, and its name is Jose Canseco, hard pass. We'll stay here in Mars. That's going to be better for us.
Wow. Where was that personality when he played?
Yes, because he had none when he played.
Because that's Mark Fidrich stuff, right? Wasn't it?
The pitcher from the Detroit Tigers who seemed to be out there.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Or Bill Spaceman Lee.
Yes.
Who was not out there. He's very sharp guy. But And then finally, because we're not finished with this, Jose Canseco. Go scroll down because I'm looking at these that James is putting on our screen. Mm-hmm. Here's one that he talks about in terms of total pounds, mm-hmm. you know, in terms of with the weight and with the head and everything like that. Basically, Jose Canseco put on the Twitter account, and he's been doing this since January, so apparently he's got a whole bunch of time on his hands. He said, time travel puts 42,651 pounds of pressure on a human skeletal structure. Can you detach the brain from the body and equalize the pressure? It could be done.
Okay. Well, that's the end for Jose Canseco right there. I haven't heard anybody speak in these terms besides him. Where is he getting this from?
From aliens who have gotten in contact with him. He's like David Bowie and the spiders from Mars. Basically what it's come down to.
Is there any comment from Ozzy? Ozzy Canseco about this.
I have no. You know what? He'd be better having Ozzy Osbourne making a comment instead of his twin. His twin's probably going, you know what, Jose? I think it's time for us to never get together Thanksgiving ever again if this is where you're going. There you go. Mulder and Scully.
He's also running for president. It says, me for president.
Yes. Why not? His campaign can be out of this world. Vote for Jose Canseco. I'm going to vote for you.
Oh, wow.
Jim Basco, Sports Tonight, All Night comes your way next. With Jonathan Hood, I'm Freddie Coleman. This has been Freddie Fitzsimmons on the mighty ESPN Radio. Take care, God bless, and stay on Earth.
Oh, my God.
State Farm, this is Bill.
It finally got me, Bill.
What's that, Rick?
The Clark Street crater, the mother of all potholes.
Oh.
Yeah, year after rim-wrecking year, it's tormented the people of this town. They try to fill it.
but it always returns. It got me good.
But you know, State Farm's got you too.
You hear that? You ain't nothing!
You trash talking a pothole?
Yes. Yes, I am.
Go with the one that's here to help life go right. State Farm. Talk to an agent today.